face pressed to the blankets. Zemyanin was standing on the floor behind her, ramming himself into her from behind, enjoying her panting and cries. He was holding the girl by the back of the neck with his iron fingers, squeezing harder at each thrust. This was good. So good. Taking away all his worries about the Earth Falls, about the mysterious deaths that kept occurring around the mine, and about the identity of the young Will Good and his captive rescuer. Everything would be resolved once his passion was spent and his mind was clear again. The bed rocked back and forth, rattling against the outer wall of the hut. Out of the corner of his eye, Zemyanin noticed that the young woman on the floor had recovered consciousness, sitting up, touching her various injuries with trembling fingers, reaching for the scraps of material that lay beside her. But Zemyanin was nearing his third climax of the evening. The Russian opened his eyes. Inches away from him was the face of the other girl, a wad of black cotton covering her left eye, like an eye patch. Like the eye patch over the left eye of Will Good. Like the one the American, Ryan Cotter, had been wearing. Over the left eye, like that of the prisoner who'd rescued Will Good.
The fucking father and the fucking son.
Christie watched the pillar of dust as it moved steadily toward them across the flat New Mexico desert. The others were all back at the homestead for the evening meal. Christina Lauren had been baking, the clay oven in the yard servicing a constant flow of bread and blueberry muffins. Jack had slit the throats of a brace of chickens, plucking and gutting them, then jointing them for a rich stew with sweet potatoes. Now they all sat out on the porch, looking toward the sky-toppling column of gray-brown. Christie shaded her eyes as she stared at the dust cloud.
A lot of people, I think.
Jack blinked. His white hair was splashed with red from the western sun. He narrowed his pale eyes, but his vision was always poor in good light.
Maybe it could be some mescalero with cattle or horses?
Moving slow. Doesn't tell us anything.
We get us some trains every now and again. Like the old times when the settlers came through in big ox wags.
Christina moved toward the door.
Anyone want some coffee?
A mug of your fine Java would be most welcome.
JB and Mildred also took up the offer, but Jack and Christie turned it down.
Your hair looks just about ready to burst into flame.
It's the sun that does it.
You all right?
Sure, thanks. Just worried about Ryan, where he is, what he's doing.
The doctor stood and joined her.
If Ryan can't make it, then nobody can. He's just about the most surviving man I've ever met.
I try to see, but all I get is cold, black, and wet, and danger all over.
He'll make it.
Christie looked across at the armorer, who was staring toward the west. The light flared off his spectacles, making it impossible to see his eyes.
Sure, but when?
We agreed, Christie. If he's not back in time, then we go after him. One way or another, we'll bring him here.
One way or another? You mean dead or alive, J.B.? That it?
You know he'll return.
Christina came back out on the veranda, holding an old telescope that was covered in light brown leather and had a small brass focusing screw on the side.
Been watching that dust from the bedroom.
What you see?
A lot of people coming this way. Wags, moving slow. Won't get here till first light tomorrow. Unless they come in the night.
We'd best get ready for them. One way or the other.
Zemyanin had his Makarov pistol in his hand, cocked and ready. He stormed out into the blizzard with his favorite Dragunov sniper's rifle strapped across his broad shoulders. By the time he reached the hut where Ryan was held prisoner, he had eight of his guards trailing after him. The snow was already lying way over the ankles, piled higher in drifts, 3 and 4 feet deep against exposed walls. Visibility was down to less than 20 feet, and Zemyanin wasn't surprised not to be challenged. But when he saw the open doorway, swinging in the strong wind, the black hull with inches of snow lying inside it, the Russian halted, holding up his hand as a warning to the others.
Wait!
The group of men, all carrying M16s, gathered around him. It was close to midnight, and the slave labor camp seemed to be sleeping.
The man who saved the boy, he is the most dangerous criminal element. A man who could free himself from the strongest, strongest gulag. He has, I think, escaped. We must find him. Must.
Just one man, Major Commissar?
The cold eyes turned to Sekhman Benson, who took two stumbling steps backward, his mouth closing like a steel trap.
Two of you are on the back. Four go to the room where the injured boy is kept. The rest come with me. How many men should be here?
Three, Major Commissar.
Then where?
One of his guards suddenly reappeared around the side of the building.
What? Why haven't you gone to the back of...
Major Commissar there.
The Sekhman pointed with his hand.
Who?
The three that were on guard.
Killed?
All blasted through the back of the neck. Close up. You can see the birds.
Go on around the back.
You want to see them?
No. I have seen the corpses of this stupid many times. Do as I say. The rest come with me.
But Zemyanya knew what he would find in the room where Ryan Carter had been held prisoner. The door had opened slowly, and in the half-light, Ryan had been able to see a hand wearing a leather gauntlet come into the cell, holding a large caliber pistol. Then he realized what kind of gun the hand was gripping. The .38 caliber undercover that he'd stolen from the armory for Kate Webb.
Ryan?
Yeah?
I got the key to let you out.
The Sekhman?
She was kneeling, fumbling with the key, dropping her gloves on the floor.
Deal was I'd suck him and they'd let me see you.
And?
First time I did what he wanted, and the bastard wouldn't keep his word. Said to come back and do it for his friends.
Ryan could feel a cold wind blowing from the open door. He tried to move around to make it easier for the young woman to free him. The only good thing was that in the brawl and the confusion of the cave-in, nobody had thought to search him. The Sig Sauer and the Punga were still safely hidden under his heavy clothing.
Go on.
Three dumb fucks stood there. I said to get their cocks out, ready and lined up. Stood there, pathetic little maggots in the cold, around the side of the hut. Drew the blaster, got them all.
Ryan shook the chains off his wrists, freeing himself completely, drawing his own pistol.
You reloaded your blaster?
No.
Do it.
Now?
Yeah. How many did you fire?
Three.
You chilled them all with three rounds? One bullet to a man?
They near shit themselves. One bullet through the neck. I made the shits kneel in front of me.
I didn't hear a sound.
Blowing a blizzard outside. Bet no one else heard either.
Ryan was impressed. Maybe if they all survived this, he would indeed take Kate back with him. He grabbed her and gave her a quick kiss on her cold cheek.
You did real good.
Now what? Rescue Dean?
There'll be more guards. Zemyanyan could come any time. Best is to get outside and hide up. Then save the boy when they don't expect it.
He moved past her, glancing into the deserted corridor. Since he hadn't heard the bleak execution of the three Sekhmen, it was safe to assume that nobody else had, just as Kate speculated. The snow was whirling into the passage from the black night beyond. Moving slowly, Ryan peered around the door, but it wasn't possible to make out anything more than 30 feet away.
Shelter.
The young woman followed him into the storm with a stumbling, coltish grace. They vanished into the blizzard. Grigory Zemyanyan came roaring up less than 5 minutes later. Dean's dark right eye, the left one still covered by a patch, brimmed with innocence as it stared up at the Russian.
Who's that?
Listen to me, pretty youth, and listen to me very well.
Dean had seen much wickedness in his 10 years of life, and very often been frightened. Though he was trying with all his might to conceal it, he'd never met anyone who scared him like the powerful, bald-headed Russian.
I know who you are. I know your father. We have met socially. I will kill him when I see him next. I want to rip out your heart and devour it. So bitter is my hatred for you, little Master Cotter. But you will be good, Master Good.
How?
By remaining here alive.
My father will kill you first.
Bravely spoken. You have never hunted the white Siberian tiger, have you? No. I believe that the reply will not be in the affirmative.
No.
a cunning beast. But it can be trapped by offering it something that it wants. Perhaps a tender young goat.
You think my father will come to save me? Then you can catch him?
It is not beyond the realms of possibility.